Welcome back to NFL Rants and Raves. I'm Steven Miranda. On Wednesday, October 15th, 2014, episode 10.21, the Week 7 preview show, Brian Hoyer says, it's Johnny Football or me. Or did he say that? And look who's saying the Steelers have gotten soft on defense. Did he really say that about his old team? Plus, the Cowboys have a good old boy. Great timing there, buddy. But at least they have one player on the team that they can congratulate, as he does something that no other offensive lineman has done in quite some time. This week, Ollie jumps in to represent the fans in Week 7, and he quickly changes his mind after I pick the challenge game. I say, this is the challenge game, and he says,
what?
And changes his mind. Another 15 games on the schedule, so let's chop it in and get this thing going. Continuing to bring American football to the world, it's Steven Miranda with NFL Rants and Raves. Thank you very much for jumping in and listening to Listen, I'm telling you, it's going to be a crazy day today. Thank you for listening wherever you are, however you're listening, however you are downloading the show. I appreciate it. Also, a little bit later on, the Doc up north, Doc Rob, is going to be joining me. He said he wanted to say a few things, so I'm going to let him get it out. Remember, Doc Rob is a big Seahawks fan, so we'll hear what he has to say about that Cowboys-Seahawks game this past weekend. Right now, there's just way too much good stuff on TV, people, and there's not enough time for me to see all of it. Besides football, which, you know, I watch plenty of that, there's The Walking Dead, and I got to watch The Walking Dead. There's Modern Family that I'm watching on Wednesdays, and on Tuesdays, there's Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which, if you're not watching it, you should. It is a really, really fun show. But that means there's no time for Breaking Bad, which I'm trying to catch up on. Homeland, The Newsroom, Boardwalk Empire, or the new show Gotham, which I hear is fantastic. I haven't had a chance to get to that. All I can say is thank God that Game of Thrones is not on TV right now, or I'd be going crazy because I would have to find time to watch that show. And you know how much I love The Mother of Dragons, right? Just kidding for some of you there who are listening that might be a little sensitive about my affair with the Mother of Dragons. Okay, Game of Thrones will be back in March, so I'll just have to wait for that. That's good because there's no football in March, so I can totally devote all of my Sundays to that. But right now, there's just Walking Dead on Sundays, and I have to kind of like sneak it in between the last afternoon game and the night game. Modern Family's on Wednesday, so that's good. There's no football then. And Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is on Tuesday. That's, you know, I watch it while I'm getting all my fantasy football teams and waiver claims squared away. So I can do that. But other than that, I can't watch all the other good stuff. It's just going to have to wait. I'll have to catch it on Netflix later. And by the way, a good announcement about HBO. They're saying that a subscription version of HBO is coming, where you don't have to be a cable subscriber. Because right now, you have to have a cable subscription and have to be paying for HBO to be able to sign in to HBO Go and watch it, you know, HBO Online to watch the shows. Well, they're saying that a subscription version of HBO is in the works where you don't have to be a cable subscriber. I'm pretty excited to hear how that's going to play out, because if I don't have to pay DirecTV for HBO and I could just get it somewhere else, I will do that, because it is expensive, people. Expensive to get all those movie channels on DirecTV. But that being said, it's time for football, and we'll start with the Cleveland Browns. How good are the Cleveland Browns right now that the first story is about them? A couple of days ago, there was a Bleacher Report article that said Brian Hoyer won't agree to a long-term deal if Johnny Manziel is on the roster. Jason Cole said that that was a rather precarious situation with Hoyer playing really well, only being under contract till the end of this season. And, of course, Johnny Football is on the roster of the Cleveland Browns, and he's supposed to be the future of this team. So if the Cleveland Browns wanted a long-term deal with Brian Hoyer, because he is playing pretty good football right now, and the Browns are looking like a really good team, and here comes, you know, in a few weeks, the return of Josh Gordon, whose suspension is no longer a full year. It's been reduced to 10 games. So in week 11, he can come back and play football for the Browns. He gets another weapon. He gets some more healthy guys on the team to come back. And Hoyer's like, hey, you know, long-term deal. We may want to keep him around. And he's like, not so fast, because you have Johnny Football on your team. Well, today, Hoyer's agent, Joe Litna, told Tom Reed of the Plain Dealer in Cleveland that report was 100% false. However, Hoyer said he wants to remain in Cleveland, but I'm a competitor, so I want to be somewhere where I'm playing, basically saying, if I'm not the starter, I don't want to be here. So Joe Litna is telling him that the report's 100% false, and then his client saying, yeah, I want to be somewhere where I'm playing. It doesn't seem to mesh. So get your report straight there, Mr. Litna. If you're going to represent your age, your client, Brian Hoyer, make sure that you tell him to say things along the line that you're saying, especially if you're saying that the report is false. Either way, I think it's great for Cleveland. It's great for the football team there. The Browns are looking pretty good. They're playing competitive football. They haven't been blown out of any game so far this year. They're literally, seriously, about 45 seconds away from being an undefeated football club. Seriously. I mean, the Pittsburgh Steelers beat them on a field goal late in week one. Then a couple weeks later, the Baltimore Ravens needed a field goal on the final seconds of that game to beat the Cleveland Browns. Otherwise, the Browns are at least 4-1. Which is pretty good. The Brownies haven't been this good in quite some time. So the head coach there, Rich Pitine, was asked if there's a distraction because of this, you know, contract with Brian Hoyer, and, you know, the report coming out that he doesn't want to be on the same roster with Johnny Football, and maybe they're not completely, you know, on best of terms. He's like, you know what? Distractions come up, whether it's someone's contract or whether it's a player getting in trouble. There's always distractions. You got to deal with them. You got to move on. It's good for Cleveland, because if Brian Hoyer can't work out a long-term deal and he eventually moves somewhere else or somewhere else pays him a lot of money, they could fall off back to Johnny Manziel. And if Brian Hoyer signs a long-term deal, they got a pretty good backup in Johnny Manziel. So they're certainly living the life there in Cleveland right now. Good for them. And saw an article where LeBron James, who is back in Cleveland playing for the Cavaliers, wrote a letter, I think, to the guys from Inside the NFL asking if he should cheer for the Cleveland Browns, because Browns football seems to be back, or the team that he cheered on as a kid, the Dallas Cowboys, because Dallas Cowboys football is back. He was torn between which team to cheer for. I'm like, I think, LeBron, you know where I stand. Cheer for the Dallas Cowboys, man. They're America's team. But if you're in Cleveland, you may want to think for, you know what? You're the king. Don't they call LeBron the king? If you're the king, you can cheer for both teams, man. Just do it, because it's good to be the king. All right, look who's talking about his old team, the Pittsburgh Steelers, being soft. None other than ex-head coach Bill Cowher. Now, the Steelers organization has been known for their defense. Usually the defense is big. There was the Steel Curtain back in the day. You know, these defenses that the Steelers have built were always really great. I mean, they had a guy named Mean Joe Green, right? I mean, that was remember the commercial, the Coke commercial with Mean Joe Green walking out of the stadium carrying his jersey on his back, and then there's a little kid drinking a Coca-Cola and you know, he hands this Coca-Cola to Mean Joe Green, and he drinks the Coke, and then the kid starts walking away, and then Mean Joe Green says, "Hey, kid," and he throws the jersey at the kid, and the kid gets a big smile, and it's like, "Share a Coke," or whatever the commercial. You remember the commercial. It was great. But Mean Joe Green, that was his name. Mean Joe Green. Mean was in his name. And the Steel Curtain, and they were hard-nosed, big bullies that just wanted to beat you up. And that's what the Pittsburgh Steelers are known for. And then here comes Bill Cowher, a guy who led him to a couple Super Bowls, won a Super Bowl with the team. And he says, yeah, this team is soft. He calls them soft, all right? Ed Bouchette of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette says, quotes Bill Cowher, who said on CBS TV, "I never thought I would say these words, but Pittsburgh has gotten soft." He called them finesse on offense and soft on defense. Finesse on offense, which, remember, Pittsburgh is like a run, pound them, run the ball. Remember Jerome Bettis, run, and you pass when you have to, and then just mean on defense. And Bill Cowher, a guy who was their head coach, calls them finesse on offense and soft on defense. Just not what you want to hear if you're the Pittsburgh Steelers, especially from an alum who is this noted. And it's the chin. It's Bill Cowher, and he's calling you soft. That doesn't sound very good, and it's not a good, saying of the guy who took over for him, head coach Mike Tomlin. And Tomlin's not very happy with his team right now. He's starting to call out people. He is calling out people. So things definitely are amiss there in Pittsburgh. And when the chin calls you soft, that is not a good thing. Maybe changes are coming in Pittsburgh. Well, I have to play this for the Dallas Cowboys. I really don't want to, but it's true.
Just a good old boy.
That's right. He's a good old boy.
Never meaning no harm.
No, he never meant any harm.
Beats all you never saw. Been in trouble with the law since the day they was born.
Running back Joseph Randall was arrested for shoplifting, people. Oh, my goodness. Now, I never understand why celebrities or people or football players, obviously, who make a lot of money would ever have to shoplift. Now, I'm not saying that if you're poor, you should go shoplift. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying that, you know, at least if you're poor, you don't have any money and you're broke, I can understand why you would go and you would steal something. I don't condone it, but I understand why you would do it if you're flat broke. Joseph Randall makes a little more than $500,000 a year. So I know the brother's not broke. Brother's got some money. He's getting banked. He's getting a really fat paycheck every week. So once again, it's not that I'm saying if you're poor, go out and rob stores, but especially don't go rob stores if you're rich. I mean, the brother makes $500,000 a year. And he's going in. Check this out. He was arrested for shoplifting a bottle of Gucci cologne and a bottle of a two-pack of underwear. All right? Two-pack of underwear. Now, it's been he was arrested in Frisco. The Frisco police said it is a Class B misdemeanor there. A theft between $50 and $500. Video surveillance caught Randall stealing the stuff. He has not been suspended by the Dallas Cowboys, probably because it's a misdemeanor. It's like a traffic ticket almost, right? That's what it missed. I mean, it's nothing huge. but the Cowboys now are saying that he's not going to get suspended, but that he's going to get fined for conduct detrimental to the team. That that fine could be as much, some sources are saying, as $30,000. So this crime of stealing, and this cologne, by the way, mind you, it wasn't even like a brand new bottle of cologne. It was one of those tester bottles that they have out there so that it's open and you could just kind of spray and see how it smells. It was one of those. It was a tester bottle of cologne and a two package of underwear, which the value of the two was about $123. Now, because he decided to go and steal that, he is now possibly faced with a fine by the team of $30,000. Now, mind you, his base salary this season is $495,000, which breaks out to being about $29,118 per week. That's a lot of money, dog. I mean, some people make what he makes in one check, make for the entire year. This cat makes it in a week, and he couldn't pay for $123 worth of merchandise. Now he stands to possibly get fined up to $30,000. Randall was interviewed by Clarence Williams, I mean Charlene Williams, I'm sorry, of the Star Telegram in Fort Worth. And he told her, "It's the biggest mistake I've ever made in my life." You think? You think? Dude, come on. I don't understand. The Cowboys are having lots of success. And Randall himself had a lot of success on the football field up in Seattle. He had some pretty big runs there. Don't be a distraction to your team, especially when you're not the star, dude. Man, it's just a backup running back, and here it is. He says, "I've talked to the team about it. I can't just go on like nothing happened, so I addressed the issues, and now we're trying to move forward from it. I hope this is not a distraction from the team." Seriously? "It's the biggest mistake I've ever made in my life." Seriously? Thank you, Captain Obvious. Tell me something I don't know. Oh, man, next time just pay $123, dude. Seriously, if you wanted the underwear that badly and the tester bottle of cologne, he didn't even buy a brand new bottle. That is what I think is the funny part, is that it wasn't even a brand new bottle.
What?
Yeah, it was a tester bottle, mija. A tester bottle. Unreal there. Joseph Randall, good old boy of the week, arrested and released and fined and grow up. Some of these guys seriously need to grow up. But we're sticking with the Dallas Cowboys because amidst the negative good old boy there of Joseph Randall, there is congratulations to be bestowed, and that is to offensive lineman Tyron Smith. The offensive lineman there, the left tackle, earned the NFC's, what is the actual honor? Offensive player of the week. Offensive player of the week. And that was given to a lineman. I think the last time a lineman won offensive player awards in the NFL, you have to go all the way back to 2004 when Waters won it for the Kansas City Chiefs. That's the last offensive lineman to do it. But Tyron Smith earned the nod for keeping Romo upright in the big win over the Seahawks and allowing DeMarco Murray to rush for 150 yards in that game. So congratulations to Tyron Smith, because you don't ever see linemen winning offensive player of the week awards, or you haven't seen it at least since 2004, and I don't even remember it back in 2004. So that is impressive for Tyron Smith. Congratulations to him, and seriously, I think that award should go to the entire offensive line there for the Dallas Cowboys. Good for Tyron for getting singled out. Let's get to it. 15 games this week. Ollie is the fan who gets to go against me this week, and I've got some stuff to say about him. All right, so Ollie was The randomizer selected Ollie this week as the fan. And basically, once again, if you want to go up against me, you have to make sure that your picks are in the website, www.nflrandr.com. That's nflrandr.com/pick'em. And you go there and you put in your picks, and they have to be visible because the random generator won't pick if you hide them, it can't see your picks, so it doesn't think you made picks. They have to be visible. It'll go and it'll make a selection. It selected Ollie this week, and it started off that we differed on five games. But when the email was sent to Ollie that he was chosen to select the fan, and I had told him that I had made the challenge game, the Patriots over the Jets, he quickly changed his mind and said, I don't know what I was thinking. No, I'm taking the Patriots. I'm taking the Patriots over the Jets. And, yeah, that other pick where I've got the Jaguars beating the Browns, yeah, I didn't mean that either. I'm taking the Browns over the Jags. So he got his stuff in early, and he actually wrote novels for each game as to why he made the picks. So I'll get to that in a moment. But we only differ on three games. Once again, get out to the website, put your picks in so that you get a chance to be the fan for the week. Ollie, you're on. Your picks have been noted. Please make sure you go back out to the website and change your picks, because we want to make sure that you keep the picks that you've made here on the show on the website for everyone to see. So let's get started. And by getting started, we go to El Juego Grande Estupendo de la Semana. The San Francisco 49ers travel to Denver to face the Denver Broncos. Big game for both teams, as the Denvers want to keep pace with the San Diego Chargers in their division, and the San Francisco 49ers want to show that, hey, they're still someone to contend with in the NFC West. The San Francisco 49ers are going on the road and are 7-point dogs. It's actually come down to 6.5. Denver favorite at Mile High by 6.5 points, facing a San Francisco 49er team that looks like it's maybe getting back on track. I got Denver at home, though. I got Peyton Manning. You're going to tell me it's Peyton Manning versus Colin Kaepernick. I'm going to say take the Manning. Ollie seems to agree with as well. He's got the Denver Broncos. Let's look at the novel that Ollie wrote for that game when he picks the Denver Broncos. He says, you surely can't look past Peyton at home. The Niners will have much trouble stopping Mr. and Mr. Thomas. That would be Demaryius and Julius, the tight end and the wide receiver. Good to see Jonathan Martin playing for San Fran. Well, okay, maybe he didn't write a novel on that particular game, but he did on others. thank you for that, Ollie. Yeah, I'm not sure that that the San Francisco 49ers are going to be able to stop the passing game in the first quarter this past Monday night. The San Francisco 49ers actually had a little bit of problems with Austin Davis and the Rams. And, dude, it was Austin Davis. Can you imagine what Peyton Manning's going to do? I think Denver wins. I'm not sure I like the line at 6.5 because Denver seems to kind of ease up late in games. I don't know why, so I wouldn't touch the line. But I think Denver wins the game. They win it handily against the 49ers without any problems. Should be a good game, though. It is Sunday Night Football, and that is El Juego Grande Estupendo de la Semana this week. If the Denver Broncos and Peyton Manning are going to have success, they got to make sure that Ronnie Hillman continues to run the ball effectively. They weren't doing a good job running the ball when Monte Ball was in the game. Since he's been hurt, Ronnie Hillman has been doing an effective job running. And when he has a running game, Peyton Manning is lethal, because his play-action pass is pretty phenomenal. I mean, I like Tony Romo's play-action pass, and his numbers for play-action pass are pretty incredible as well. But just Peyton Manning, play-action pass, he can put the ball pretty much anywhere. When he moves the linebackers with the play-action, He knows that it's over. I can put the ball anywhere, and all I need is to move that linebacker an inch one way, and I'll put it an inch the other way. And that's what he does. So I think he'll be able to take advantage of that against the 49ers. And so I think Denver is going to win this game, and Ollie as well likes him. So that is your El Juego Grande Estupendo de la Semana. Before I get on to games of the week, here comes a guest. Joining me right now is Doc Rob from Seattle, also known as the Doc Up North. Hey, Doc, how's it going?
Hey, Steven. Good to talk to you.
Good to talk to you again. I think the last time I saw you, we were in New York. It was the Super Bowl, and your Seattle Seahawks were thrashing the Denver Broncos.
That's correct. And remember, I got to go on air with you the night before with you and Jeff, and I predicted that the Seattle Seahawks were going to dominate Denver, and both you and Jeff sort of laughed at me, but what a game that was.
We did laugh, and actually, as it turned out, the auxiliary press box where I was seated was over to the near the back of the end zone, and just over to the other side, I think one or two sections away from us, you were there with your lovely wife cheering on Seattle.
That's right, and I think our yells were what affected that that first muff by Peyton Manning and resulting in the safety, and the riot started after that, and I think our yells were part of that.
I tell you what, I saw that play. I'm sitting there, and that play was in our end zone. It happened in our end zone where
right
we were sitting,
yeah.
Right in front of us, and I just said to myself, I think I actually said it out loud. I said, game over. And people around me were like, what are you talking about? It's 2-0. I'm like,
yeah.
The intensity that the Seahawks are bringing and the way they are moving, it's just faster than Denver. And I picked Denver in the game. I was like, look, I picked Denver to win this thing. I'm sorry. They're just not moving as fast as the Seahawks were moving. But this weekend was a whole different story as the Dallas Cowboys went in there and won in front of the 12th man. What happened to the 12th man?
Oh, what a disappointment. Once again, I was at the game with my wife, and I walked into that game pretty confident. I chose Seattle as my survivor pool.
Oh, no, you're out.
I'm out now.
Yeah.
But it was a disappointing game to me as a fan because I just did not feel the Seahawks had the same intensity and energy that Dallas showed. And I hadn't really seen that in Dallas before. So I've got a new respect for your team or the Dallas team here. They really look pretty good.
Yeah, remember, they're not my team. I'm neutral. I could care less
about
the Cowboys.
That's what you say. And I laughed when you said that at the Super Bowl, and I'll laugh at you again tonight.
You did. I think you exactly laughed exactly like that at the Super Bowl, by the way. But no, the Dallas Cowboys did go in there and win. I actually thought the game was over when it was 10-0 because I thought it was deja vu just a couple years ago.
Sure.
The game was exactly the same. The Seahawks took a 10-0 lead the exact same way. They kicked a field goal. They blocked a punt and returned it for a touchdown. It was 10-0, and they wound up winning that game 27-7. I'm like, oh, my goodness, here we go again. But this Cowboy team, as I've been saying all along, is different. Several years ago,
it is different.
Several years ago, that team folds up and loses the game, but they're not that
really,
same.
And remember, Bobby Wagner, our linebacker, really hit Romo very hard right in the first quarter, knocked him down. And I thought that's it. Romo's going to be happy feet. He's going to start throwing interceptions, and he didn't. He just stepped up and played the entire game strong and well.
He did. Did the whole air kind of deflate? From the stadium when he hit that Terrence Williams 23-yard pass on 3rd and 20?
No, it didn't. The air never went out. The game, the fans were loud until the end. And actually, we had a chance there at the end. If Romo had made that miraculous throw, and what a great catch. And our linebacker, Bruce Irvin, almost had Romo on that play, but He was a couple inches short, but we still could have come back and, you know, threw the interception, and that was that. But no, our fans are strong. They're loud right to the end. So that wasn't the issue.
Yeah. Well, it was a great game to be at. I had a couple nephews actually there at the game. They kept sending me pictures, and they had a blast, and they had a great time cheering for the Dallas Cowboys. So there's a different reason why you're here today. It's not to talk about that game.
I wanted to talk about money with you, Stephen.
Money? Do I owe you some money? I'm sorry.
I've been a fan of yours and your show since the beginning, and I tell you, it has been such a part of my life. I look forward to it every week. I listen to both podcasts, the preview of the week and then the review of the week, and I enjoy it every time. And I tell you, I like to be a donor. It's one of the pleasures because you give me so much pleasure. So right now what I'm going to do is I'm going to take a $100 bill, and I'm going to put it in an envelope,
wow,
and I'm going to address it to you right now.
A hundred?
I'd like the other listeners around the world to stop just a second, maybe put it on pause, grab a pencil and a piece of paper or an envelope, and write this down. So it's to Stephen Miranda, and that's Steven Miranda, Miranda. And your address, and let me just put this down on the envelope right here, 538 Figueroa Street or Avenue?
Drive, actually, drive.
Figueroa Drive, and that's spelled Figueroa Drive, Altadena, Altadena, California, abbreviated capital C, capital A, USA, zip 91001. And I want to challenge the other listeners around the globe here who have not been donors in the past, who may or may not have a credit card or not want to do your donation on the web, pick up some cash. And it can be in London pounds or whatever Australian currency. It doesn't matter. You can change that in your own bank. But let's send Stephen some cash. Put in the envelope. You, all these other listeners enjoy listening to you like I do, two times a week. I mean, 50 cents a show, a dollar a show, whatever. I'm putting in $100 because more or less it's 40 or 50 shows a year. I'm happy to do this, and I want you to keep doing it.
Well, I really appreciate that. I don't even know what to say. Thank you very much. You have been, I will say this to everyone listening, you've been one of our generous show donors for a very long time, and we really appreciate it. I really appreciate it. Thank you very much. It helps me continue to do the show, server costs and web costs, and it allows me to make those trips to get to some of the games. I really appreciate it. Thank you very much, Doc.
Absolutely. My pleasure, and thank you so much for doing this. I want you to keep it up.
Well, thank you. I love doing it, and I will continue to do it as long as I can. Doc Rob, thank you very much, Steven, for joining the show, and I look forward. I'm happy now because I look forward to getting some mail then from you.
That's good, and I hope that Seattle and Dallas meet in the playoffs.
Gosh, that would be great. And since we beat you, you guys would have to come to Dallas this time.
Well, yeah, that could be.
I'll
come to the game.
All right. There you go. Doc Rob, also known as the Doc Up North. You're very generous. Thank you very much for coming on the show, Doc. And I hope for you, Seattle continues to do well.
Thanks so much.
So that was the Doc Up North, Doc Rob. I really appreciate him. Seriously, he has been a listener for a very long time. And I also want to thank everybody else out there who has been a show donor to this show. You have kept me going for much longer than I thought I would ever be going. So thank you very much for donating to the show. I really need to do some more stuff for you show donors and do some extra things out there and put up on the show donor site. Once again, all of you, I really appreciate you from the bottom of my heart. Thank you very much for listening, and thank you very much for continuing to support the show. Let's get going. Now it's time for Games of the Week. All right, first game of the week, the Cincinnati Bengals travel to Indianapolis to face the Colts. The Bengals now are coming off two rather disappointing games, a thrashing at the hands of the New England Patriots, and last week, tying. That's right, you heard me correctly, tying with the Carolina Panthers 37-37. Cincinnati's offense looks pretty good. I mean, they put up 37 points last week, but defensively, what has happened to that football team? They don't look very good. Indianapolis right now is showing we are humming. They are humming. They're playing pretty good football. They look pretty good offensively, look pretty good defensively. Last week, they took a huge lead on Thursday Night Football, which, once again, advantaged Indianapolis because they've had a long break, 10 days off. They're at home. That's why I like Indianapolis, and so does Ollie. Let's see what Ollie has to say about the Indianapolis-Cincinnati game. He says, it does pain me to pick against my Bengals. Also, we know he's a Cincinnati Bengal fan, but not that much of a homer that he's picking against them. But Dalton did his rabbit in the headlight show in Foxborough, and the defense allowed the Patriots to score 43 points, the Panthers 37. Indy has some great targets for Luck to throw to, which he will. Stat-wise, the Colts are ranked first in points scored, passing yards, and total yards. Wow. I'm looking at T.Y. Hilton to have another big game. Let's say 125 yards minimum. So there you go. I actually think this week it's Reggie Wayne's turn. But still, Andrew Luck just having a phenomenal season. He is looking really good, throwing the ball at will. And if they can even get a hint of a running game going with Trent Richardson, who now, by the way, I am convinced 100% that trade with the Cleveland Browns was a humdinger. It was bad. It was so bad that some people would say
it was bad. It had nothing, no fire, no energy, no nothing.
No nothing, man. I mean, that trade was bad. Indy certainly got the raw end of the stick. But as long as Ahmad Bradshaw continues to contribute the way he's doing, that running game will look just fine. I've got Indy in this one. So does Ollie. We'll move on to Chicago, where the Bears, or should I say Chicago, where the Bears host the Miami Dolphins. Here comes the first game that we differ on. I've got the Chicago Bears at home. Ollie takes Miami on the road. Let's see what he has to say. He says, this is a massive season for Coach Philbin, and after last year's debacle, I'm not sure if he should have stayed in the job. If they don't make the wild card spot this season, that must be it, surely. But I do hope that this is one of the games where the Dolphins turn it around. The whole team should be mad after throwing away a win last week against Green Bay. And if Coach can cut out the queasy play calling, that is in reference to Philbin saying that the play calling made him queasy, they have a shot at a road win here. I still like Tannehill, and while Lamar Miller is averaging 5.2 yards per carry, they can do things on offense. The Bears' offense is scary and has to be said. That has to be said, but their D is certainly not. Lots and lots of points. I do agree with Ollie that there will be lots of points scored in this game. Unfortunately, the Dolphins just aren't that good on the road, and I am still in awe of how the Dolphins lost that game to Green Bay last week. I mean, it just, not just the play calling, the use of timeouts, the just giving Green Bay more time than they should have had, the fake spike, which was brilliant, by the way, Aaron Rodgers. Miami look sick all of a sudden. They look sick. And I'm not going to take them. Not on the road. No, not going to do it. So good on you. I'll get another game on the fans there. So there you go, Ollie. We'll see what happens in that one. But I'm like Chicago. I don't think the corners for Miami will have anything for Alshon Jeffries, Martellus Bennett, and of course, Brandon Marshall. I think the wide receiving core will be just too much for Miami to be able to take care of. And Matt Forte, all of a sudden, has turned it on over the last couple games. He's looking pretty good. So, let me put this caveat out there. As long as Big Mistake Jay, that would be Jay Cutler, doesn't rear his ugly head, the Bears should take care of the Dolphins with little problems. Moving on to Detroit, with the Detroit Lions host the New Orleans Saints. Second game that we differ on. Lions at home. Ollie's got Detroit. I'm taking the Saints on the road. Here's why. They're coming off a bye week. They think that possibly at the end of 2 weeks ago, they got that win where they had no business beating Tampa Bay. They came back to win at the end. I think that might have turned their season around. They had a week to kind of be off and get away from it. They get Mark Ingram back, the running back who has been out with a busted thumb on his hand. Now he comes back. He's been at practice. Sean Payne likes to have running backs at his disposal. I like New Orleans to come in, and the reason why, the Detroit Lions just offensively look horrible. Yeah, their defense looks really good, but here comes an offense that is just loaded with weapons, and on the other side of the ball, Detroit has none. Calvin Johnson set to probably miss his second game. Looks like the Madden curse was 1 year late. Didn't get him last year, but certainly getting him now. Affecting him on the football field, missing games. He missed most of game 2 weeks ago against Buffalo. He was completely out of last week's game. Didn't even play, and not scheduled to play this week. So I'm going to take the Saints. Ollie's going to roll with the Detroit Lions. He says, the Lions have been their usual selves, promising a lot but delivering little. That was Ollie saying that, yet he's taking Detroit. Let me finish. However, we have seen the Saints and Rob Ryan's D perform pretty badly this season. Yep. So Stafford and Co. could put up some points. Also, the Lions' D has been somewhat fearsome, and they could stifle Bear Breeze away from his Superdome, perhaps. If somebody could please pass along the message to Detroit, mention that penalty flags are bad for them, much appreciated. P.S. Hey, Matt Prater. The ball and the posts are the same size and shape as they were in Denver, where you were good. Throwing a shot at your kicker that you're taking. That's probably not good advice, Ollie. I'm going to say you probably shouldn't take shots at the team you expect to win. Ollie's been good fun so far. There you go. He's got Detroit. I've got New Orleans. Moving on, the Carolina Panthers travel to Green Bay to face the Packers. We both agree Green Bay is going to win this football game. Look, Carolina showed last week they could come to play, even without D'Angelo Williams and Jonathan Stewart. They were playing, what, Fozzie Whitaker? Isn't that a character on Fraggle Rock? Can you check that for me, please? I don't even know who I'm talking to. I think I'm just talking to you fans out there metaphorically. go out there and check. Isn't Fozzie Whitaker a character on Fraggle Rock? That's why I'm talking to you. When I say, can you check that for me, please? I'm talking to you because there's clearly no one here in the Rave Cave except for Sarah, who is up on my wall, the Tampa Bay Buccaneer cheerleader. How you doing, Sarah? And that's about it. Our house guest, who was here in the Rave Cave, she has since moved on. That was my niece, Kate. She's gone. So there you go, my friends. There is nobody here except for me. Sorry, I had to take that drink because my throat was killing me. We both have the Packers. Getting back to Carolina, what I was going to say is that they're using smoke and mirrors right now. I really don't have any idea how the Cincinnati Bengals let the Carolina Panthers score that many points last week. Cam Newton surely was having a phenomenal game there, running and throwing the ball. I think he rushed for over 100. He threw for almost 300, threw a couple touchdown passes, rushed in for another one. Very, very good game by Cam Newton. I don't think he has that this week. Green Bay is at home, coming off a win that Aaron Rodgers just willed and kind of pulled out of his back pocket. But at home, Green Bay, fans, Aaron Rodgers throwing the football. I don't think that the defense will be able to stop him. I expect another high-scoring affair. Packers come out on top. Final game of the week, the Kansas City Chiefs, coming off a bye week, heading to San Diego to face the San Diego Superchargers.
San Diego Superchargers. San Diego Chargers. San Diego Superchargers. San Diego Chargers.
Chargers. I like how they say that. San Diego Superchargers are super once again. Best record in the AFC West, just a half a game above the Denver Broncos, who are chasing them. San Diego's looking good, folks. That's all I got to say. Kansas City is up and down. I was the first one to say that I believed last year's 9-0 start was kind of fluky. Nowhere near the success that they had last year, this year. And sure enough, here we go. One week, you see them roll somebody, and then the next week, they get rolled themselves. And I think this is a game where they get rolled, quite frankly. Last year, San Diego beat them twice. I expect San Diego to beat them twice again this year. Starting at home, Phillip Rivers has been pretty phenomenal. The emergence of Brandon Oliver out of nowhere, this rookie running back, is looking very, very good. And he's giving Phillip Rivers life because he is providing a spark in the running game that they haven't had in a while. So I like San Diego. I like them big in this game. I don't think it'll be close. San Diego's a little upset that they let the Oakland Raiders hang around last week and they needed, you know, every second of that game to get the victory. They will not allow the Chiefs to be that close in this game. San Diego wins big, and Ollie agrees. What does Ollie have to say about the Chargers getting the win here? He says San Diego winning very quickly. This is the one game where he only gave me one line. He says two division games and on the bounce for San Diego will be tough, but they have been played well again this season. Brandon Oliver, what a find for the Chargers. Hey, there you go. He agrees with me on the Brandon Oliver play. So there you go. We both have San Diego, and those, my friends, are your games of the week. Moving on to games of importance. We'll start in Dallas, where the Dallas Cowboys host the New York Giants. This, my friends, is what I call a trap game for Dallas. The Cowboys are coming off that big win against the Seattle Seahawks in Seattle. The New York Giants got embarrassed on Sunday Night Football against the Philadelphia Eagles, getting blown out 27-0. And next week, the Dallas Cowboys host their hated rival, the Washington Redskins. So the Cowboys have to remain focused. They have to stay on task. With the Giants struggling, with the Redskins struggling, they have to make sure that they take care of business in these two games. There is absolutely no reason, the Cowboys being 5-1 right now, why they are not, after the next 2 weeks, 7-1, going into that big matchup against the Arizona Cardinals. That is what Dallas should do, but in order for them to do that, they have to stay focused. I've got Dallas winning the game, and so does Ollie. Ollie says, it's Eli Manning. It's Eli Manning. I'm being mean there. But how about them Cowboys? And more specifically, how about that defense? I will be rolling with the boys D in fantasy for sure. And I'm marveling at that Terrence Williams catch. Wow. Well, that's what Ollie has to say. It was a pretty nice catch. But Dallas Cowboys, if they want to be taken seriously and they want to be considered as contenders, you can go up to Seattle and beat the defending Super Bowl champions 1 week and then come back at home and lose to the New York Giants. So I'm taking Dallas. I'm rolling with them. I think it's fine. I'm not taking them as a survivor pick because it's a division rivalry. And you know what? These two teams just don't like each other. But I think the Cowboys are due to take care of the Giants and take care of them handily. I expect nothing less. And I think Ollie expects nothing less as well. Now, the Pittsburgh Steelers host the Houston Texans. This, my friends, is Monday Night Football. Now, that should be a really good game. But as we heard from the Chin, Bill Cowher, the Pittsburgh Steelers defense has gotten soft. Are they going to hear that? And are they going to get back to pounding people? Or are they just going to continue to be finesse and soft? That's what we're going to find out. I'm going to say that they're going to stay finesse and soft. I'm taking the Houston Texans. I think Houston is a little upset that they kind of let a game get away with them against the Indianapolis Colts. That game obviously was over after the first quarter. It was 24-0. They came back. They chipped away, but eventually lost 33-28. It just wasn't enough. This week, I think they're going to come out. They're going to be a little tough. They'll get after Pittsburgh, and that defense is going to get after Roethlisberger. That's what I can't just – I just can't see Ben Roethlisberger continuing to take hit after hit, week after week. It's been happening for the last several weeks. I think with J.J. Watt and Cushing and that defense, they're going to get after Roethlisberger, and they will win this game. Ollie agrees with me as well. He says, where Ryan Fitzpatrick has pleasantly surprised me, or is it J.J. Watt with a fake beard at QB? If you see a confused quarterback, Mr. will be nearby, having blocked the pass at the very least. Mr. Watt, I'm sorry, not Mr. Will. I can't even read his email anymore. Look out for Big Ben being confused this week. Mike Tomlin is looking down the barrel. Yeah, I do believe that too. The Pittsburgh Steelers front office, though, they generally ride with their head coach for a while. And it'll be a while. Usually it's the head coach that steps down. They don't tend to fire their head coaches there. But if they continue on this losing pace, he may be looking at the barrel. You're right there, Ollie. I agree with him, and we both have the Texans. The final game of importance is a big one for the Atlanta Falcons. They travel to Baltimore to face the Ravens. Here we go. The Baltimore Ravens, they looked flat out unbeatable last week. They took it to Tampa Bay really hard. I like the Baltimore Ravens in this game. So does Ollie. Ollie, let's see what Ollie has to say. He writes and says, where the Ravens will control the game from start to finish. Last week's domination over poor Tampa was perhaps flattering to Baltimore, but the Falcons couldn't get anything going versus the Bears' defense. That's true. What has happened to the Atlanta Falcons' offense? I'm just not sure. I don't think, and I don't expect Flacco to throw 5 touchdown passes this week, but at home, it should be pretty good. Baltimore will dominate this game, and the Atlanta Falcons are going to start to sputter, and it may get out of control for them pretty quickly. We both like Baltimore. Now the final 6 games of the week, the games of interest and nap games. I'm just going to give you picks as time is running out, and I've got a couple questions from Facebook that I'd like to answer. Well, games of interest. All right, Thursday night football, Jets at Patriots. I've got the New England Patriots. This was the one where Ollie originally had the New York Jets but quickly changed over to the Patriots. We both like New England. Come on, it's the Jets. Short week, Thursday night football in Foxborough, New England. That's all you need to know. The Buffalo Bills host the Minnesota Vikings. This is the final game that we differ on, and this is what I'm going to make the challenge game. It's the Minnesota Vikings at Buffalo Bills, and let's see what Ollie says. He says, I can't see many points being scored here. All the stats would also seemingly point to a home win. However, I'm looking at Teddy Bridgewater to show more promise, and he will use his athletic ability to evade sacks in this game, unlike last week where he was lion food. Well, I'm going to stop right there, Ollie, because that is what I see. The Bills' defense was embarrassed last week by Tom Brady and the New England Patriots. It won't happen 2 weeks in a row. They will get after Teddy Bridgewater. They will hold the Vikings to limited points. I think Kyle Orton now, with a couple games under his belt, is getting a little bit more familiar with those receivers. I look for the Bills to bounce back to winning ways and take care of Minnesota. I will make this the challenge game, so lock it up. I'm taking the home team, Bills. Ollie's got the Vikings, and this will be challenge game for week 7. Final four games, the Cleveland Browns at Jacksonville Jaguars. Another game Mr. Ollie changed. He originally had the Jags at home, but his senses came to him. He's taking Cleveland. I'm taking Cleveland. The Browns are playing good football. The Jacksonville Jaguars are not, especially not on defense. Offensively, I like what I've seen from Blake Bortles, but it's just not going to be enough against a Cleveland Browns football team that is determined to play very well this season. And they've been playing very well in every game so far. And as long as they don't fall down and are down early, the Cleveland Browns, the sky's the limit for this football team. Nap games, Tennessee Titans at Washington Redskins. Both Ollie and I have Washington to take care of Tennessee on the road. Then we're taking two road teams. The Seattle Seahawks travel to St. Louis to face the Rams. We both have Seattle. And the Arizona Cardinals travel to Oakland to face the Raiders. We both have Arizona. So in the three nap games, we take one home team, the Redskins. Then we take two road teams, Seattle and Arizona. That's all she wrote for the 15 games. Real quickly, I said post some questions on Twitter and Facebook. And by the way, if you're not following the show on social media, you should get out there. Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Find all the social media handles at NFLR&R.com. That's NFLRANDR.com. Let's take one from Twitter. Rico Stone asks, who should be fired, Rex Ryan, John Isaac, or both? And I'm saying right now it's going to be both. If the New York Jets' woes continue, and I don't see any reason why they're not going to, I'm going to say both are going to get fired. Isaac just, I'm sorry, you made the choice of Geno Smith, and he is not looking like a franchise quarterback. That's just not good. And Rex Ryan, your defense, just that is what used to carry you, man, and it's not carrying you right now. So I'm going to say that they're both going to get fired at the end of the season. Let's see. Andrew on Twitter asks, is Andrew Luck an elite quarterback? Come on, Drew. Hold your horses, dog. Let's let the guy play a little bit longer before we start elevating him up to the elite quarterback level. He is having one heck of a season right now. I'm telling you, it is very, very impressive what Andrew Luck is doing right now for the Indianapolis Colts. With a team that, you know, doesn't have a lot of superstar talent. But before we say slap elite on him, let's just let him play a little bit longer. One more from Twitter. Derek asks, do you think Murray can hold up getting so much work? Well, I'm going to have to say that, yeah, I mean, we haven't really seen him be able to hold up, right? I mean, he hasn't been able to play 16 games at all in any season yet, but I don't see right now. He is looking fantastic right now. He looks good. I know that he didn't practice today for the Dallas Cowboys, and it was a coach's decision. Tony Romo didn't practice either, so I think the Cowboys are being smart. They're saying, hey, we're going to work you guys during the game, but when it comes to practices, hey, take a day off, man. Relax. Get your legs back under you. Get healthy. Let your body heal, and then we'll go back out on Sunday, and we're going to, you know, go at it again. And if they continue to do that, I don't see why not he couldn't stay healthy for the whole season. I think the thing that concerns me is that right now, if he continues on getting as many handoffs as he's getting right now, I think he would get something like 425 carries in the season. Because he hasn't played 16 games in the season, the most he's ever had in a season is about 217. So you're saying that you're asking him to double how many carries he's had in a season. I think he can do it. He's shown that he can be a workhorse, and he is a lot more physical in the third and fourth quarters than he is to start the game. Remember, all his fumbling problems have come in the beginning of games. It's after he's been roughed up and hit and running. He seems to get stronger as the game goes along. So can he stay healthy? I say yes, and keep giving him the rock. I say keep doing it. If he comes to you and says, hey, coach, maybe you're using me too much, I don't see how that happens. I think he wants to be the guy. He wants to be an every down back, and the Cowboys are using him. They're spelling him with Randall and Dunbar from time to time, and they're getting their carries as well. But I don't see why Murray can't get 20 to 25 carries every week and be successful and continue to be successful as he's been right now and stay healthy. The last couple times when he's got injured has been, pretty freaky. He had his knee tweaked. He's pulled stuff. As long as he runs and continues to run the same way, I say he can stay healthy and be pretty successful this year. Let's go over to Facebook and see what we got there. We'll take a look at Ed Franks. You're a funny guy. Ed says, why was dude from the Cowboys stealing drawers? I already addressed that earlier, so we won't answer that question. Let's see. Joey says, are the Steelers ready for a new regime? Well, they might be ready. I might say that the Pittsburgh Steelers might be ready. But like I said, they're an organization that typically does not fire their head coach. I mean, they keep their head coaches for a very long time. Bill Cowher stepped down. Remember, they didn't fire him. He decided he wanted to retire. He won a Super Bowl, and he was ready to move on and go live life. And, he's enjoying his life being a broadcaster now and taking shots at his old team. But I don't think that Mike Tomlin is in trouble. And quite frankly, I don't think Mike Tomlin is the problem there in Pittsburgh. I think the problem is that a lot of their players are older, and they need to get a little bit younger. And that's the thing. They need to get a little stronger on both the offensive and defensive lines, because Ben Roethlisberger for the last couple of years has been just taking all kinds of shots, and that's not good for your quarterback. So are they ready for a new regime? Maybe. But are they going to do something about it? I don't think so. That's not the Pittsburgh Steelers style. Let's see. Ian Buckman says, should I bench Stafford or Dalton this week? Dude, this isn't about fantasy football, man. But no, you should not bench Stafford for Dalton. Well, maybe, because he's not going to have a lot of weapons out there on the field. And Dalton is going against the Colts. They did give up a lot of yards last week. I don't know. That's iffy. Stafford without I would go with Dalton. Go with Dalton. Too much pressure on Stafford this week. All right, let's see. John Edwards says, with the Giants now being counted out and the Cowboys the new darling of the experts, are they ripe for an upset this weekend? I feel like the 2007 playoffs was the last time the Cowboys were so clearly favored in this game. That's an interesting point. Like I said earlier in the show, I think it's a trap game. The Cowboys could surely be caught looking forward to Washington or Arizona. But I think Jason Garrett is the type of coach that knows what's at stake, and he knows that he has to keep his team focused. And I'll go a little bit further and say that I was interviewing a couple Cowboys, and they were all like, they only wanted to talk about the next game. They didn't want to look ahead. They're always about, what's next? The New York Giants. And I think right now, if you ask any Dallas Cowboy, what's next is the New York Giants. They're not looking at Washington, Arizona, Philly. If they get into the playoffs, they're focused on the New York Giants. And I think as long as Jason Garrett can keep them focused on the Giants, it'll be okay. And I think they take care of business. One final question. Let's see. What are the odds of Mike Smith and Dimitroff, that's the general manager for the Atlanta Falcons, keeping their jobs if the Falcons keep up their mind-baffling ways? Well, Matt, that's a very interesting question. Arthur Blank, the owner of the Falcons, was asked that same question this week, and he said that both Smith and Dimitroff are safe. He likes that combination. He thinks that it's a winning combination. But owners can say that, and they can always change their mind. So I would say right now, as long as Arthur Blank is in their corner, they're safe. But what's to say that if the Atlanta Falcons finish 4-12, maybe 5-11, and they don't make the playoffs, Arthur Blank might quickly change his mind and say, you know what, we need to do something. And I think in that situation, it would be Smith to go, and he would let Dimitroff stay and maybe bring in another head coach. But that's just my opinion. And like I said, as long as Arthur Blank says that they're safe, then they're safe. It's the owner who makes that decision. And, you know, but that could also be the kiss of death. Remember, we used to say that it's, you get the words of encouragement from the owner saying, yeah, his job is safe. And then 3 weeks later, you're out of a job. I personally like Mike Smith. I think he's a good head coach. And I think Dimitroff is one of the younger, smarter GMs in the league. You know, the Julio Jones move, they went out to get this guy, and this guy has been solid. And when he's healthy on the field, he performs like a beast. So they've put together a pretty good team. It's just they've unfortunately been hit with some injuries that have kind of taken some of their players away, and no one can really combat that. It's injuries happen to everybody. So that's all the time I got. Thank you very much for listening. I am on my way, wish me luck, to Dallas this week, as I am going to be enjoying some time with my wife, Trisha, and we're going to be taking in the Dallas Cowboy game against the New York Giants. I'm not going as media. I'm going as a fan, and we're going to go and have fun and be fans and cheer and be loud, and I don't have to worry about the little monster inside of me in the press box. I'm going to be yelling and cheering and having a good time with my brother, David. He lives just a little bit from the few minutes from the stadium. So we're going to stay with him, and we're going to have a blast. So wish me luck, because especially for all you friends over there overseas, you've heard of the Ebola virus and what's happening in Dallas. There's been another nurse was found having the virus. So I'm going to stay away from that hospital, that's for sure. I won't be going there. I'll just be going from the airport to my brother's, to the stadium, back to my brother's, back to the airport, home. And in all that time, I won't be drinking anything that is not in an Arrowhead bottle that I bring from California. So there you go. Thank you very much for listening. Doc Rob, thank you very much, sir, for your generous donation and for coming on the show and asking others to do the same. If you want, follow along on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Just visit NFLRNR.com and check out all our social media handles there. You've been listening to NFL Rants and Raves. I'm Stephen Miranda, and I'm out.